The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Once again, reeling after yet another horrific mass shooting. Six people killed, at least 24 hospitalised after a gunman opened fire during a 4th of July parade in Highland Park near Chicago. Police have arrested a suspect, 22-year-old Robert E. Cremo, the third following a 9-hour manhunt. ABC News filed this report.
Police say Robert E. Cremo was spotted by North Chicago officers in the silver Honda Fit they were looking for. The horror unfolding this morning, just 10 minutes into the Independence Day parade, when a shooter armed with a rifle unleashing a barrage of bullets. Hundreds of families seen running for their lives.
I just looked back at my dad, and right behind him, this girl just fell in cold blood and just died. And we saw a few other people just get shot.
Some witnesses say the bullets sounded like they were coming from above the parade.
And I came upon what scene I have never seen in my life, of bloodied people, and I almost started to cry, and I just felt sick to my stomach. It was just carnage and horrific.
Some parents are trying to take cover in nearby buildings.
Tried to break the glass to get in with my son, and I couldn't break it, and when the shot stopped again is when we decided we had to run, so we started shooting again, and we ran behind the building, and I put my son in a dumpster.
That dad placing his son in a dumpster to keep him safe until he could find other family members.
It's an absolutely terrifying ordeal for any family at what should have been a celebration. The motive of the shooter is still unknown. His uncle gave an interview to Fox 32.
Tell us about your nephew, Bobby the Third. Had there been any signs of trouble, any warning signs recently?
There's been no warning signs. As I saw, I saw him yesterday evening, and when I went home, I said hi to him. And then when I came back downstairs, I said bye, he said bye, and that was it. That was normal standards of all time. And I see nothing that would trigger him for doing this at all.
Had he ever said anything to you or said anything to a family member that might have concerned people?
No. There's no concerns that I've seen at all.
And the weapon, do you have any idea where he acquired the weapon?
I'm not sure. No.
You don't?
And there was no signs of trouble. I saw no signs of trouble. And if I did see signs, I would have said something.
And no mental problems or psychological problems in the past?
Not that I know of, no. He's a real quiet kid. He keeps everything to himself, and he doesn't express himself out. So he just sits down on his computer and... There's no interaction between me and him.
Terry Sheridan, Managing Director of WSHU Public Radio, is with us. Terry, good morning.
And good morning to you, Jonathan.
And is common in this type of shooting, the individual posted videos in advance that in hindsight now give us a bit of an insight into what was running through his mind?
It gives us a bit of an insight, but there is still much that is not understood about those videos. Yes, they were incredibly violent. They used symbolism that, again, we're not sure what they mean. There's this one symbol. It's hard to describe. It's sort of like a cross, but you really can't tell whether it was white nationalist or neo-Nazi or even just Satanist in looking back at it. And also, there is this... It's hard to explain, but they're really deep, disturbing, you know, fantasizing about mass shooting, fantasizing about sleepwalking through a mass shooting. So at this stage, it's hard to know what they actually mean.
It was a 4th of July parade, supposed to be a celebration of American independence. It wasn't the only shooting at a 4th of July parade yesterday, but the fact that it was so indiscriminate and affected people of all races, every creed, who were on the streets celebrating the day in which you should rightly celebrate American independence.
Yeah, right. And now... Highland Park, Illinois, this is an affluent suburb of Chicago. It's about 25 miles north of Chicago. You would probably know Highland Park because it's been the scene of several movies. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 16 Candles, Home Alone. It has a large Jewish and Asian population, but several of the area's sports stars also either had homes or lived in it. So this was a quintessential small town Fourth of July parade with the local Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and local high school bands participating. Nothing fancy, but just the chance for the community to get together and celebrate the Fourth of July.
We don't know the type of gun. We know it was a high-powered rifle at this point. Do we know if it's the same type of weapon that would have been used in other mass shootings, the AR-15?
Right now, we don't know that. Again, police have just said that it was a high-powered weapon. They did find it, and they did find other evidence. Again, now as sun rises here in America, they'll be listening to the tapes to see what it sounded like. We do know that it was a semi-automatic weapon. It was not an automatic weapon, but as to what specific model it was, that we still don't know.
Listening back to that clip from ABC News, the idea of one parent trying to smash windows so that he could get inside and save his son, ending up putting his child in a dumpster because it was the only place he could get him off the street. That just is a new low point in this discussion that you and I have had so many times, and you and Pat have had so many times, that this, you know, schools are not safe. Streets are not safe. Parades are not safe. People have to hide in bins now, abandon their children in bins, because it's the only way they can get them out of the sight line of a gunman.
Right. And as you just said, several of the tweets from high-profile people yesterday would say that, okay, we're not safe in schools, we're not safe in supermarkets, we're not safe in church, we're not safe in synagogue, and now we're not safe at a parade on an open street. And again, because this was a parade, there was police presence already there providing security. And it happened so fast and so confusingly that there was nothing that the police could do immediately, even though they were there, to stop this.
It's like the good guy with a gun model again. It broke down on a number of occasions. They always roll it out, the NRA supporters saying, if you had a good guy with a gun, it would have prevented it from happening. In fact, people were even sending that message to me when I was talking about the Denmark shooting earlier. It just shows you that doesn't work. It didn't work in Las Vegas. It didn't work in Chicago, where you have somebody who's hell-bent, can access weapons and can take a high vantage point. They can cause this level of chaos. It doesn't matter how many guns in the hands of good guys there are. So it blows apart that myth.
Absolutely. And even the supermarket shooting in Buffalo that now we've tended to forget about because they become so regular. There was a retired police officer who was providing security at the supermarket. He actually shot at the shooter, but the shooter was wearing body armor as well, so it did no good. We've had 300 mass shootings to date in this country from January 1st till now, July 5th. And no, the good guy with the gun is definitely not working.
A text in from a News Talk listener. It's truly sickening the way some Republican commentators in the US challenged the Copenhagen shooting to try and justify why European countries need more guns. But that just goes to the deep level of their psychosis, that they hold on desperately to that amendment that was devised in a very different time to hold on to weapons that, you know, didn't exist when those forefathers were drawing up those rules. You have the new bipartisan legislation on gun control. It was always going to fall short, Terry, by the standards of any other civilized society. But it just means it's not going to be revisited again, probably not for a couple of years. Doesn't matter what happens, who gets shot, how many kids are put in dumpsters.
No, absolutely right. It's well, first thing, the Second Amendment was designed in the 1790s when men had muskets. Completely different weaponry, completely different reason for having weaponry. As far as what's going to be done, who knows? I mean, this is over the past couple of weeks with the controversial Supreme Court rulings, with the mass shootings that's been happening, with the January 6th revelations. Could this cause a turnout in November for the midterm elections that could tip the scale towards some reforms? Who knows? But again, there's a different feeling in the country now than I would say even at the beginning of the year.
When you rely on an 18th century document to guide all of your law and you religiously and strictly interpret it, you are not doing a service to the people who actually drafted that. In the same way that our 1937 Constitution has to be constantly amended and revisited, it does seem as if the Supreme Court is going to be a focal point for the elections. The question is whether Democrats can rally enough people to make difference, a key difference, at the time when Republicans are looking to make an inroad and damage Biden ahead of the next presidential election. I mean, do enough Americans care about the machinations of the Supreme Court to make that difference, Terry?
I think if you talk about the machinations, the answer is no. If you talk about what has been lost or what has been perceived to be lost individually, then perhaps, for instance, a woman's right over bodily autonomy, that people may not care what the machinations of the court are, but people may feel or do feel that they have to do something at the ballot box come November. Same thing if you're an environmentalist and the Supreme Court gutted the Environmental Protection Agency, that might get you going. The gun issue, there's been a whole series of rulings, you know, that are actually taking down the wall between church and state. So it might be if you personally feel, one personally feels that they've been affected, then that might drive them to the polls.
Okay. Terry Sheridan, Managing Director of WSHU Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us as always, Terry. Just one more text on the States. I feel so sorry for the USA. Once the land of opportunity, now the land people want to stay away from. There are still so many people in this country who've got a deep affinity for the United States, and it's not because of the stuff that we've talked about in the last couple of weeks as such, the shootings, the Supreme Court rulings, whatever. They love the country for what it represents. But it becomes harder to see what it represents when you have a constant barrage of negativity and this horrific division within their country. I mean, we have division here, but it is nothing close to what the political division that has emerged in the US, where you have got no centre ground and left and right. And if you're not one, you have to be the other.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.